told me when I was young.
Thank you for tuning in or streaming or downloading Blooming Out on WFHB 91.3 FM in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm Melanie Davis.
And I'm Justin Robertson.
And I'm Cal Demery.
Yay!
We're all here.
Yay. Love it when we're all here. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. It's good to see you.
I know you. You, Cal.
Yeah, I've been missing.
No, you're sick of seeing me. That's all right. I understand.
Thank you for being well.
Yeah, it's really the day my body doesn't work. So the days that I am good, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm. We're old. We get it.
Yeah, but you are just glowing. You're the picture of health.
I don't know about that, but thanks.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
I'm better than us. How is you're well. You went on a trip, didn't you? Didn't you?
I did. How did you know?
You post about it all over the place.
I do not.
You do too. There's the whole travel blog.
Fie. Yeah, I went to Louisville.
Yeah.
How do you say Louisville. It's Louisville.
It has vowels.
I don't think so.
Nah. I had a like recruiting tabling event that I did, and these folks came up, and then I was like, "Where are you from?" And they're like, "Louisville." And the people next to me were like, "What?" And I was like, "Louisville." And they're like, "What? Where are the?" They couldn't pronounce it either, so they were like, "Where?" And we're like, "Louisville."
I honestly don't think I could pronounce it till about 5 or 10 years ago. Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I finally got it. It took some time, but I love that city.
Hives now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're, of course, you know, where I come from, we don't pronounce anything correctly.
Right. So. But no, I have to say the Frasier History Museum there is like, fantastic.
It all about the TV show Frasier?
No.
Oh,
no. Not to be confused.
Oh. What's the Frasier?
The Frasier History Museum is a Kentucky history museum, but they're retelling the narratives. Mm-hmm. So they have, say, the Kentucky Hall of Fame, which, you know, it's been there since 1937, and that's a bunch of oil paintings of, you guessed it, white men.
Yeah.
But they say in their storytelling, the Hall of Fame is a bunch of oil paintings of white men. However, they could not have achieved, you know, what they're credited with without the help of their slaves, their wives, et cetera, et cetera. And they expand the story. And I found it very powerful.
Telling it like it is.
Telling it like it is.
Right.
Yeah. And so I thank the Frasier Museum. I think that they are just fabulous. They're doing a great job.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, and that's like downtown or?
It's right downtown.
Okay.
On Museum Row. It's across from the Slugger Museum.
Yeah. Okay. And that's right by the Children's Museum and all that.
There's a science museum down there. And
the Slugger Museum, what kind of sluggers are those?
Melanie.
No, I'm
don't even attempt to talk sports with.
No, because I
hate balls.
I went to, we, right on.
We're so mature.
Ditto.
I like the galas. I like galas. I like those
I'm
kind
sure
of balls.
I'm sure you do.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't.
The ones that are always bouncing to the left and to the right. Yeah.
No, the ones that, you know, come at your face.
Justin.
Or your stomach.
Justin.
We're on radio.
No, I had a very difficult time as a child.
Oh, because
sports.
Of all like the kickball and everything like that?
Oh, basketball.
Oh.
Terrible business.
Yeah. They just, yeah. Anywho, I worked at Wonderlab for a couple of years, right?
Did you?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
And we went down to the Children's Museum down there, and we were checking out their setup and everything and you know, getting ideas and speaking with the people. And so I had to take up the opportunity to ask people, okay, you know, what's the name of the town? Well,
I think you said it
best. And that museum.
Yeah.
What's the name of the museum? Louisville Slugger. But what's the name of the town? Well, and like, and you know, I'm glitching. They weren't. They were fine. But I was over like short circuiting in the corner, and yeah. how? But no, it's really. I mean, I love their. I love their setup. Louisville's a really nice place.
It really is. I love it. I love the food. I went to my first drag brunch,
yeah,
which I've never been to before. And that was really fun. It was Harry Styles.
No way.
I was almost going to say night, but it wasn't because it was brunch. So it was a Harry Styles brunch. All the drag queens sang Harry Styles, and there were two drag kings. So it was really fun. But that's a bit early for me to do mimosas and drag queens, to tell you the truth, and Justin, Harry Styles. But I did it.
You're not that old.
I am.
No.
What? I did it.
It's too early for mimosas and drag.
Really? At 10 in the morning?
That's just
I get up very early, but I'm not ready to pate.
That's just getting to bed time. Come on.
It used to be.
Yeah.
I used to not go to bed until the birds sang.
Right?
Or, yeah.
Yeah. What?
I have narcolepsy, so I just sleep all the time.
Oh, you sleep all the time.
Yeah.
That's what narcolepsy is. Yeah.
It's different than
I had a friend with that, and she fell asleep while making a peanut butter sandwich. And don't mean to be insensitive, but it was kind of funny. But
face first into the bread.
Yeah. Mm. She even laughed.
I fell asleep eating McDonald's before, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't ever sleep. But anyway,
yeah.
Enough about me and Louisville. What have you been up to?
House stuff. Just trying to get things ready for the active seasons of going out and maybe even having people over.
Ooh. Did you hear that, Cal?
Well, we've got to clean up and fix up the house first.
Then I want my embossed invitation.
There's like, once you can walk to the bathroom without threat of falling through the floor into the crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's good company in the crawl space. We got the groundhog down there, and there's this friend, the skunk. And I think maybe some chipmunks too. But, once we get the floors fixed up and everything and people can go to the bathroom, then we'll have people over, because you don't want to have people like, okay, well, it's the porta potty outside. We can go to the bathroom, but we know where to stop.
Right. You know, so you're being like, what's his name? Bob Villa?
If sure. I mean, I'm not a professional of any sort, but,
You always do everything though.
I am a amateur of everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm impressed.
Jane of all trades.
Yeah.
Mistress of none.
I completely understand. What about you, Cal?
Just trying to figure out what I'm doing for the summer.
Yeah.
Have had a really good job interview yesterday, though.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, this is what you should have led with.
Yeah. And they got back with me this morning asking for references.
Oh.
So that's like a good thing. So, and it was my second interview with them. So,
yeah.
Hopefully it all goes well.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wish Cal the best of luck, everyone. That's great.
And wherever you go and whatever you do, you're still going to be with us.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
It's for a position at the auditorium. So
awesome.
Yay.
Well, hopefully congrats. I don't want to be too jumpy, but yay that you got another call from them. So
yeah,
that's excellent. We have, so oddly enough, it wasn't a crippling news week as it has been the past few.
That's nice.
Yeah. But I mean, there are still some things that have cropped up, and one of them, and ran into this earlier, and you made the note of it, and I had a Facebook post about it, was Meta and their platforms.
Facebook, to people who don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Facebook, Instagram. It's owned by Meta.
And Threads. And it was kind of, it wasn't even a soft rollout. It was kind of just this under the table change that they have been slowly creeping with. I had noticed it before on my feed, and I wasn't getting
too.
Yeah, I wasn't getting my news feed. So like,
so they what really? They did was they stopped promoting political content, is what they said. So you know, you have your, I guess it's called like your For You page. That's like every one you follow. So it shows you what people you're following post. But then you have the Explore page, where it's a bunch of posts made based on what you like, what you click, what you're interested in. And so you can see other people's work. You can find new people to follow on it, etc. And a large portion of the American public use Instagram as a news source. And so recently, as Melanie was saying, both of us have noticed there's been a lack of political posts on the Explore page. And it's because Instagram or Meta is not promoting it anymore.
Hmm. And not only that, so they're on Facebook, they're doing away with their news section, right? So they have videos and news and, you know, and they're that in April, it's going away.
Oh, I didn't know
but
that.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, starting almost a year ago, they had been cutting back on your feed on political posts or posts about certain divisive issues. Mm-hmm. And those had been going farther back. So you'd have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll on your For You page. So even though it's stuff that you follow, it's not coming up in the order that it should be.
Because it's not chronological either.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah.
So they're putting it farther down. So if you're a casual scroller, you're never going to see it. And it's kind of the same thing that they do if you have content that you've put on that is questionable to their community standards. They will say that it's dropped farther down on people's feeds. That's the way that they put it, so that it doesn't pop up for your friends. And so what I've been doing is testing out different ways of writing posts.
No.
And using, because on my phone, I have 5 different languages for my keypad. And I'm scrolling through and using characters that look like other characters. And in Russian and Greek actually work pretty well with that because some of the letters are, they look analogous, but they're not to the English letters. So you can fudge around with that. And I'll make a post. And the things that I use that have the random spellings, those pop up and get more notice than the ones that use straight English language. So
where they can get an algorithm from or recognize the words.
Where the AI can, yeah, exactly. Mm.
And so it's like a language of its own type of thing that you have to use to get by the sensors.
We're all going to be code breakers.
Well, and that is a huge problem because, you know, how do you disseminate information?
With that, but also who's making the choice of what is political?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then there comes the question, which is a very good question. When does LGBTQ+ become politicized?
It already is.
Yeah, exactly. And so are like things like LGBTQ+ posts being, you know, not promoted or like pushed down in the algorithm? And Meta won't answer that question.
However, anecdotally, according to the way that we've been experiencing it, both as people who post and as consumers, it's being pushed back for any LGBTQ content. And
I will say, I usually get a lot of Planned Parenthood stuff on my feed. Mm-hmm. Been getting none of it.
Right.
Really?
And it's not for lack of posting.
Yeah. It's just that this is a politicized issue at the time, and it could cause divisiveness, and so it's been pushed back. The other thing that is, you know, on our phones and, you know, even on the computers, you can select text in an image because it recognizes text in the image. So any text that is in like a screen grab of a news article, if it contains, you know, political content, then it will be screened as well. So it doesn't even have to be written. It could be just a picture of text that has that. And I don't know what else, you know, in AI world, they would be selecting. So if it had a rainbow in the image, would that hit for that AI?
What I'm finding, and this is a recent development, is this is also going to be a plug for a fundraiser, but Mercury Stardust on social media, also known as the Trans Handyman, is doing a fundraiser for trans healthcare. And it's across like 14 different creators, and that's all my feed has been. But they're doing video, not any text, no icons. It is literally just them talking about what they're doing, and that has not been demoted for me.
Okay.
But it's not coming up in my promoted stuff. But the people I do follow, I am seeing it.
Right. Well, and also, I mean, you know, I'm with the Stonewall Dems and with Protect Our People. And both of those things rely heavily upon social media in order to get news out and such. And those are not as seen. Because you can tell when you post something how much it's been seen. And those get little. And those are, you know, that's even from people who follow us. Right? So, so that's a problem. Maybe we just need to do videos.
I have maybe a dumb suggestion. Try post the same tile post, but in black and white. And I'm curious if the servers will pick up the rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
Just an idea. Because that's something I used to do on TikTok. So, and it worked. So, I mean, maybe just confuse the sensors enough.
I think people will find ways around it. Clever ways.
Oh, yeah. Too.
Kitten pictures.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. I'm not even kidding.
I could see that.
Gay porcupines.
Gay porcupines.
To plug this fundraiser for trans healthcare real fast, it's Mercury and Joy's third annual TikTok-a-thon. And it's to raise funds for trans healthcare by Point of Pride. And you can just Google this and like donate if you can. And the donations go to helping get free chest binders and femme shapewear, access to hair removal services, and access to gender affirming surgery and HRT services. And their goal is $4 million. And they've already, this is before the fundraiser hasn't even started yet. It starts in a couple of days. And they've already raised $131,000.
Oh.
They've been very successful in this fundraiser. And it's their third year doing it.
Good. So, excellent.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. So that's something to watch out for. And for everybody out there, if you are not seeing information that you previously had, that might be the reason for it. You might have to do a little extra work. And there are ways on, wow, you said TikTok and that just took Insta right out of my head.
Sorry.
On Instagram and on Threads, you can go into the settings and you can Google how to do it because it's kind of you have to follow a little trail. But you can Google how to turn off that filtering. But on Facebook, you can't turn it off. You can turn it on more, but it's always filtering as a default. And on Threads and Insta, it's set to default on, but you can turn it all the way off.
So what you do is you go into settings on Instagram. You go to content preferences, which is under what you see. So it's really far down there. And then you
give
go to
people
political
time
content.
To get on their phones. Hold on.
You go to political content and then it automatically selects limit political content for people you don't follow. And so I'm going to turn that off. And now I can see everything I used to be seeing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what's the reason for this?
Well, I would presume, this is me guessing, is they probably get a lot of flack for the far right stuff that's on there. And so they were probably trying to get rid of that, but it shot itself in the foot and did it for everything.
And
the alternative facts.
And both sides, though. I mean, because, you know, who are the people advertising with them? And if their advertisers don't want to put up with, like, you know, all this political stuff or be associated with, which has happened on other platforms, they don't want to run afoul of the people who are paying their bills.
Yeah.
So, yay. Welcome to unchecked capitalism, folks. something else that was you wanted to mention, too.
Well, yeah. So you may have heard there's this big spending bill because Congress cannot figure out how to stop government shutdowns. So they keep having these spending bills that keep prolonging the eventual government shutdown. And so they signed one last week, Saturday. I think this weekend, and tucked in a little tiny corner of this massive bill was that U.S. embassies can no longer fly LGBTQ plus flags. Yeah. So really what it says is you can't fly, fly or display a flag over a facility of the United States Department of State, that is not the country's flag, flags supporting prisoners of war, missing in action soldiers, hostages, or wrongfully imprisoned Americans. So, and, you know, we know based on what people have said, like in Congress, that it was pointed at queer flags.
Well, they tried to do that last year.
Yes.
And, yeah.
So Biden went ahead and did sign this bill because there was a bunch of, it took a long time to get to this bill. And like, you know, it's not a victory, but it's a victory in in moderate Democrats' eyes. So it took a long time to get to the compromise that they had and they needed to pass this bill. But the White House immediately came back out and said, we're going to do what we can to change this because that's not fair. So it's in law now, but there's movement to change that.
Mm-hmm. That's good news.
And there's no impact on the ability of members of the queer community to serve openly in the embassies or celebrate pride. So there's nothing like that going on. It's just they could not fly the flags. Doesn't mean you can't fly the flag like on your desk.
Right.
Doesn't mean you can't have a banner. You just can't have a flag.
On the outside of the building. That was their big, can't be displayed outside.
But you can have lights. You can like do malicious compliance and use things that are just not flags.
Right.
So
sure. Yeah, well, that's going around everywhere where it's like no quote unquote specialty flags.
Well, and in the schools they tried that and they have been successful in some places. No, and that was the whole thing up at North when that kid wore the Confederate battle flag.
I thought you were gonna talk about Pendleton High School.
No.
No, Pendleton High School banned pride flags.
Not that far north.
Yeah.
But are they north or are they more lateral?
They're north. I live right outside of Pendleton. My parents do, so.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So at North, this is kind of older news, several, you know, like a decade old almost.
Is it that old?
Some kid wore a pride flag to school. And then later that week or a couple days later or something, it was a kid came through with the rebel flag and that blew up and made national news.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they changed policy because of that, but they didn't ban the pride flag. They banned the rebel flag, which, I mean, honestly, that's a traitor's flag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It isn't equitable with, you know, you can't equate that with the pride flag.
And it's triggering and upsetting, and it's a flag for enslavement, which is not, you know, once again, we are a democracy. So democratic flags, such as the pride flag, which is sort of everybody is welcome, all sorts of different
inclusiveness.
Inclusiveness, thank you, are welcome. That should not be banned.
Right, right. And not just because it's our flag.
Right.
For I was referencing Pendleton High School 2021, I think, but tried to ban pride flags in their school, and their Gay Straight Alliance paired with the Indiana ACLU, and I don't remember the outcome of that case.
I don't either. And that flew in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, the teacher hung like one of those little tiny flags in the classroom, and someone got mad. Basically, that's basically what happened.
The ACLU has been winning a lot of those cases around the state because, you know, they even tried to ban, you know, same-sex couples from buying tickets for prom and things like that, which in some of these towns in Indiana, and, you know, they just can't do that, or banning the GSA. And the ACLU has been instrumental in helping enforce the law, because it is against the law for them to ban that and to discriminate in that way. So I imagine we could look that up. We'll do a
fact checker here.
What?
Call our fact checkers.
Do I want to do good news or go through
some good news?
Let's do some good news, because then we'll take our break and then we can talk about our history segment.
Well, we've got a couple of bad newses too.
You love bad news.
Love it. No. So,
do you like bad news bears?
Well, this is dumb news. How's that?
Okay. Dumb news.
The sad part is the people who lost their lives in the accident with the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Oh, okay.
And when the cargo container ship ran into one of the support pillars and knocked the bridge down.
Such tragedy.
Yeah. And at least six people have lost their lives so far, are missing, presumed to be lost. And, you know, one or two people were rescued. One person is still in critical condition as of last I checked. And, you know, that's a tragedy. That is a horrible thing. The video is dramatic, and you know, people were immediately flooding the I was going to say airwaves, but it's the internet with conspiracy theories.
Right.
And of course, they decided to, you know, there were those who were going to turn it on the libs because, you know, a cargo ship running into a bridge is a liberal plot.
Right.
Do you remember back in the 80s when evangelicals would say that, you know, hurricanes in a certain part of the world
absolutely
were because of gay people?
Yeah, tornadoes. I remember that was, since we live in a tornado area.
There's that gay person in town, so therefore we had a tornado.
Yeah, we had a tornado because we allowed that gay person to walk down the street or go to the Marsh supermarket. I do remember.
Yeah, and so people are turning this tragedy and horrible accident into something to you know, shame the libs or own the libs or whatever they're doing. Pete Buttigieg, right?
Right. Yes. Transportation
Secretary. Who would be the person who really needs to speak on this, did. He already talked about it. He came out and he went to survey the damage, and he was going to have a press conference, which he did, and he talked about that, right? Of course, one right-wing outlet posted, breaking, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg to address Baltimore bridge collapse as soon as he's done chest feeding. So,
what?
Yes. So,
because if you don't know, the Buttigiegs have two twins.
No, I do know, but I'm like saying, really, that's very important.
So they're trying to make a reach for it, and they're going to queer shame Pete Buttigieg and also be transphobic, particularly at the same time, while not knowing what the whole transphobic thing that they're talking about actually is about. Mm-hmm. So chest feeding, are you familiar with that?
I know, but I can assume what it is.
For breastfeeding. Trans mask people.
Yeah.
For whom, you know, breastfeeding is a incorrect term for how some of them want to conceptualize it, because it's triggering, it adds to their dysmorphia. And so they say, some of them say chest feeding, right? That's it. And the right wing has blown up about it. And why can't you? Whatever, dudes.
Well, they've always had a war against breastfeeding anyway.
Well,
so this is just like Christmas for them.
Dirty pillows should be kept away, right?
That term tickles me.
What movie was that?
I can't remember, but it
was Firestarter or something like that.
Carrie,
yes, thank you. Yeah. Wrong fire, teenage Firestarter. And then another cadre of anti-LGBTQ people have put up that the replacement bridge, they're upset because, and it's not just anti-LGBTQ people, these are racist people who are trying to own others. But the racist line of this is that they're not going to name it the Francis Scott Key Bridge anymore. That was what Biden had said, is it will be renamed after someone who was not a slaveholder. And that is something that we've seen here in town. Mm-hmm. It's something that's going on across the nation. Mm-hmm. We're trying to not glorify people who owned people.
Right.
Right. And
again, a democracy should not glorify slavery or enslavement at all.
And, you know, I don't care. It's Francis Scott Key. He was a songwriter. Well, you know.
And he wasn't even an original songwriter.
No. Whoop.
Oh, do you have a call? Do you need to get that? I'm sure our listeners would love to hear.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, Francis Scott Key wrote the Declaration of Independence, the Star Spangled Banner, but it was to the tune of an old English drinking song.
Right.
So it wasn't even original.
He didn't write the music for it. He just took something.
So he was a lyricist
being in a bar.
Yeah,
and he made a bar song, which we took as our
national anthem for some reason.
America, come on. Anyway, so I'm not even going to say the things that they have put down because I was reading through them, and they're just patently offensive and evil and super racist. But you know, these are your country folk. Mm-hmm. These are people. These are the people in your neighborhood, to quote that song. And one of the things while I was going through all the stories to try to find some stuff to put up was just how stretching these racist, anti-queer, mm-hmm. anti-woman people are, and how they're trying everything they can to denigrate people, stretching all credulity, you know, and we call them out.
Mm-hmm.
They get called out in some places, but it needs to be all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Shame them.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and shame them. If your uncle's saying things like this, knock him down all the pegs. Put him down. Make him throw his coat on the floor. Because these people shouldn't be given any quarter for their hatred and the violence that they do
mm-hmm.
to people in this country. And to the majority of people. They're not even in the majority, you know? In a democracy, mm-hmm. you go with the majority. Pure democracy. But, you know, they're just a hateful minority, and yet mm-hmm. they are controlling the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't allow that
no.
at all. We have to stop that. Sorry.
Well, they've been trying to take their anger out on us or other races or other
yeah.
others, you know, who that's always...
The others.
The other.
With the capital
yeah.
O.
Right, exactly. And so...
And in truth, that...
That's what they're doing, even in something as nonsensical as this, where it's obviously
right.
an accident. It has nothing to do with the others.
So, anywho.
But with that, do we want to take... We're not doing a musical break today, are
nope.
we? No, we're not.
But let's go to the Cappy.
Oh, I thought it was Gaga's birthday, and we were.
Well, we're going to do a song at the end.
Yeah, we had a song at the beginning, we have a song at the end.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
you don't know it's Lady Gaga's birthday.
38th.
Yes, and so that's why we played... Lady Gaga music today.
And I didn't know she's older than Justin and myself. And it feels good. You know, she's very successful. There's hope for us.
Well, I just think it was funny that I was like, really? She's that young? And Cal was like, she's that old? You know, perception.
For some reason, I was like, yeah, she's turning 30. Like, in my mind.
Yeah.
So.
But she seems like she's been around forever to me.
Well, you probably knew her when she was a kid. I mean, you babysat for her.
But, I mean, was she really that young when she came out? I mean, didn't she? How long has she been around?
That I don't.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know.
She was born this way, but that was in the 2000s. So.
I like the Ga.
Yeah.
I like the Gaga.
Yeah. I like
Have her. You probably haven't seen it, but there's a very funny interaction between her and Caitlyn Jenner because
oh,
they,
no.
oh, I haven't seen
they
it.
They don't
no.
like each other.
Yeah.
But they would go to the same coffee shop.
Really?
And so they would always run into each other. And then Lady Gaga stopped going to that coffee shop because she presumably didn't want to talk to Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
And so they meet at this event and
I can't blame
and Caitlyn Jenner is like, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been?" And Lady Gaga goes, "I switched baristas."
I do think that she's really funny and very
yeah.
intelligent and very talented. Yeah.
Gaga, not Caitlyn, right?
Oh, no, I talk about Caitlyn. I don't want to talk about Caitlyn. No.
No.
No, yes, I was talking about Gaga.
And we've got some local stuff going
Though
on.
No, nobody could be into. Barbara Streisand in A Star Is Born.
Baba Baba?
Or Judy Garland.
No. No, of course not.
I didn't see that movie, though, with her, the remake.
What? And see, and you're going to reference it.
I know, stupid, because maybe I'll love it.
We have to go overseas for a moment.
All right.
So
I always will.
Put on your support stockings. And what?
Jeez.
Well, it's a long flight to Thailand, okay? And you don't want to get DVTs.
I fly a lot. I've never put on support stockings. Not yet.
Do you fly to
I'm not
to
shaming
Thailand?
Those that do. I used to fly to Japan.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's far enough. Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at you. All right. I'm just saying, you know, that's a long flight and maybe get up and walk the aisles to
yeah.
keep the deep vein thrombosis.
Okay. I'll put on my support stockings. All right.
Do your support stockings and do the ones with the stripes because those are cute.
So, okay. Thailand.
All right, what's going on?
So, yay, Thailand's House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed marriage equality bill, and this is rapidly marching toward legality, making Thailand the latest country to, I don't know that they're going to call it exactly same-sex marriage, but to put same-sex relationships on par with heterosexual marriages. So the bill amends Thailand's civil and commercial code, and it changes the existing language like men and women and husband and wife to individuals and marriage partners. And that grants all couples the same rights under the law.
I have a question.
Sure.
When it comes to questions, when it comes to like wording of these things, most laws say he or she.
Mm-hmm.
What about the they and thems? Does that mean they can, you know, be gay, do crime?
Speaking as a non-lawyer with zero education and heavily biased, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
good to know.
Absolutely. So all the they, thems are actually allowed to do anything. So y'all get a pass.
Well, I'm wondering what took Thailand so long?
Well, I mean, it's still creeping around the world. There aren't that many countries that are doing this. And yes, Thailand has a kind of like Bloomington, a deep history of being queer friendly.
That's why I'm specifically thinking of Thailand, because I just have always thought of it as gay friendly.
But they're, and according to the way that the votes went, they're very deeply friendly toward this. But I have heard, and I haven't been there yet. Maybe I will. I'll get my compression stockings on. I'll double up on them and go all the way to Thailand, not to just Japan. I mean, like, everybody goes there anyway. but
my parents lived there. That's why we go there.
Japan is still trying to, catch up as well. So Thailand's ahead of Japan in many different ways, but
Japan's very complicated.
Yeah. And so is Thailand.
Yeah.
So there are populations who aren't really into that. So, you know, you have to kind of zhuzh the cultures along to bring them, you know, up to the modern day. And it's just taken them a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Spain was all about it, and you know, it's creeping across the planet in some places.
Mm-hmm.
In others, not so much. In Uganda, thanks to the evangelical church.
Of course, Russia, now, if you want to talk about some bad news.
Russia as well. And yeah.
So they're actually arresting people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not universal, but we celebrate where we can.
I think that's great.
Of the 415 representatives, 400 of them voted for this. So, yay!
Yay! No, that's wonderful news.
Well, speaking of something else to celebrate, if you want to switch gears a little bit, talk through the history segment.
Yeah!
Okay, oh. Cool. So, apologies for not, I want to say, teasing this earlier to people who may have turned off and then turned back on. I'm sorry. But we're doing history segment today. We haven't done one of those in a while. And we are talking about drag queens today.
Yay.
Yeah. So before I want to start, I want to say that my main sources for all of this was a paper by Natisha Curry, who's an archive specialist at the National Archives of College Park in Maryland. The first drag queen was a former slave who fought for queer freedom a century before Stonewall by Channing Joseph. And then a book by Channing Joseph called The House of Swan, Where Slaves Became Queens.
Mm-hmm.
So those
the
are my
House
sources.
Of Swan.
Yes. Yeah. So we're talking about a person named William Dorsey Swan. Okay. You probably never heard of him. He was born, from what we know, he was probably born around 1860, and he was born into slavery in Hancock, Maryland. So he was an enslaved person in the post-Civil War, his parents bought a farm and he worked as a hotel waiter. So that's the scene. We're in Maryland, okay?
Circa what are we looking at here? Post-Civil War.
Antebellum era. Okay. So when Swan was 24, so that's 1884,
okay,
he was caught stealing books from a Washington Library Company and an item from his employer's home. And Swan's pled guilty to all of this, but Swan's employers and the sentencing judge and the assistant U.S. attorney filed for a presidential pardon for Swan, arguing that Swan was just trying to educate himself. And so he was let go of all charges.
Nice. Now, wait, the people that he stole from?
Yes. The people he stole, he was stealing from his employer, and he was stealing from the Washington Library Company. And so everyone was like, well, he was just trying to educate himself. So we're going to give him a pardon. And the assistant U.S. attorney also helped him do that because, again, this is like around Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this good little circle around him. And in the 1880s and 90s, he starts organizing these get-togethers. So we know the term masquerade ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was slang called a grand rag for these type of events.
Mm-hmm.
A grand rag.
Yes. And he started hosting private balls known as drags.
Oh, and
based off that name.
So he came up with the word drag.
Yes. And he would call himself queen, like his friends and stuff would call him the queen of drag because he set all these galas up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this place where this all happened started being known as the House of Swan because he owned it. Him and his brother did. And so the group who would always come to these groups, who would always come to these events, were usually former slaves and rebel drag queens, according to Channing Joseph. And these events were secretive. It was invitation only. So, like, you know, you only knew about if you were invited, like through the YMCA or something, you know, like whenever you saw somebody. And very notably in these places, everyone displayed their talents, from singing Chalk Line Walk to cakewalk songs. And a cakewalk is a dance performed by enslaved people in America that mimicked the mannerisms of plantation owners.
Mm-hmm.
It was the predecessor to voguing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there would be dance competitions and talent competitions. And on two occasions, we know, in fact, that by two, it wasn't just black queer men. I was mostly attending this, mm-hmm. but not only, because we know at least on two occasions when police raided these galas, that straight men and white men were able to escape out of the back door, hide in closets, ironically, or jumping out of windows.
Well, yeah, not ironically, because that's probably where that term comes from.
Probably.
Yeah.
So I want to read one of these news articles that because people didn't know what this was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it had never been done before. So this is a news article set, and I'm going to drop in language here and there that to replace terms that are originally in there because I'm not the person to say those terms.
Right.
It's titled Colored Men in Female Attire, Police Raid on Dancing Party. Last night, a party of colored men in a ball in a house near the corner of 12th and F Streets Northwest. Most of them appeared in female attire in many colors. The dance was in progress between 11 and 12 o'clock when Lieutenant Amiss with a squad of officers appeared and brought the ball to a sudden termination. The men in female attire began to drop their gaudy costumes of silk and satin, and several of them jumped through the back window and escaped. The officers arrested 11 of them after a struggle and locked them up. This morning, the prisoners were followed to the police court by a large crowd of persons when the case was called to the courtroom was crowded. The prisoners, who gave their names as John Smith, Jake Bayard, William Dorsey, who is the person we're talking about, Charles Myers, John Lewis, Samuel Jackson, James Walters, James Howard, James Taylor, Benjamin Moore, and Albert Lee, were arraigned at the charge of vagrancy.
So they're shaming them publicly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the officers gave their testimony and showed the court silver, silk, and satin dresses, which they picked up where the men had left them. And they were sentenced to give bonds or each go down for 30 days. So it was a public shaming, essentially.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
but why ruin a good party?
Well, I mean, you know, it continued on for another 100 years as such.
Well, these police raids were actually important in a sense, and I'll get to why.
Okay.
So Swan was arrested by the police multiple times for this. They arrested for female impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time occurring April 12th, 1888, at Swan's 30th birthday. And according to the Washington Post, he was arrayed in a gorgeous dress of cream-set colored satin. And after the police raided his birthday celebration, Swan was bursting with rage, and he stood up to one of the officers and declared, "You're no gentleman." Mm. Here's the thing, though. That is the first time that we know of that rather than submit passively to his arrest, it's the earliest known instances of violent resistance in the name of gay rights in the United States. Mm. We had never seen that before. Mm-hmm.
And again.
Well, thank you, William.
Black drag queens.
Yeah.
Standing up in the face of police brutality. Mm-hmm. Where have we heard that?
Hmm.
What has come of that? Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the movement. Thank you for your strength.
Yeah.
So because of these public shamings that kept happening, it became more difficult for these parties to be thrown secretly. And so in 1896, he was convicted of keeping a disorderly house, which was a euphemism for having a brothel. And was sentenced to 10 months in jail. And after his sentencing, he requested a pardon from President Grover Cleveland. Now, the request was denied. But Swan is the first American on record who pursued legal and political action to defend the LGBTQ plus community's right to gather as well. Mm-hmm. So this person is just like clearing the runway, if you will, for all the rest of us.
Wow.
Setting, like, created the mold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Swan was known to be close with two other people, Pierre Lafayette and Felix Hall, two men who had also been both enslaved and who formed the earliest documented male same-sex relationship between enslaved Americans. So this is just all the firsts.
Yeah, wow.
And in fact, Lafayette were known to be intimate partners, and Pierre Lafayette had been, I'm quoting from the book here, had been the property of Alexander H. Stevens. Do you know who that was?
No, go on. It sounds familiar, though.
He was the vice president of the Confederacy.
Okay. Yeah.
So these are very influential people who, you know, he had been, unfortunately, in a situation where he was owned by a person in power. But he obviously learned from that position to be able to be this activist.
Yeah.
So going back to Swan, William Dorsey Swan, that's his name. Highly suggest y'all read this book on him. It was really good. His brother Daniel J. Swan made the costumes that people would go to the drag balls in. And he, even after Swan stopped organizing and participating in drag events, his brother kept making costumes for folks for nearly 50 years.
Oh.
And the two brothers were also active participants in this, you know, community as well.
Yeah.
Now, regarding his James Dorsey. That's a whole nother person. William Dorsey Swan. I found two sources with two different death dates, so I'm not quite clear which one it was. One said he died in 1925 at 65 in Hancock, Maryland, and the other said he died in 1954 at age 96.
Wow,
that's very different.
Yeah.
So I think I'm very confused on that, but obviously he's not around today. Yeah. But he was cremated, and after his death, local officials burned down his home.
Really?
Yes. And it wasn't quite clear to me as to why. Yeah. Now, obviously, we can infer that it probably was violent and hatred, but not necessarily, because I couldn't find proof of that. Mm-hmm. And when we're doing historical research, we cannot make inferences because that's our bias bleeding into it. So it gets a little complicated when you're studying history on these type of things.
Speaking as a biased person. Yeah, that sounds
right. Do you know for a fact that his house was burned down, though?
My source said yes, that locals burned down his house. Now, my personal opinion is they probably burned it down for violent purposes and hateful purposes. I just could not find evidence of that, or any historians noting that was a probable reason. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I just wanted to be clear that his house was actually burned down.
Yeah. So, okay. We go 100 years later, okay? You know, 2022. Where this all happened is in, like, around DuPont Circle.
Mm-hmm.
which has this gay history to it. And so the DuPont Circle Advisory Neighborhood Commission approved a resolution declaring the already existing Swan Street, a road stretching five blocks in northwest Washington, D.C., to be named after William Dorsey Swan, when previously had been named after enslaver Thomas Swan. So they flipped it.
Sweet.
Good.
Yes. But, you know, I, like I said, I never heard of this guy until very recently.
Me
either. And that would spur all my research into him.
But I think his story was discovered fairly recently, correct?
I think so. It was really to this guy named Channing Joseph who really deep dove into all of this.
It was a couple years ago that I saw it pop up.
Right, yeah.
But I hadn't read the book or anything. This is, all those details are just delicious and fascinating and lovely. And, you know, the history of queer people in America owes so much to this gentleman right here. But, you know, also it shows that there was already a community here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were already living and fighting together.
Yeah.
And how much things haven't changed.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like Janis Joplin says, it's all the same beep day. Yeah.
But, you know, like, for all of the things that are named after other people, for all of these terrible enslavers who have their statuary up, here's somebody who deserves not just a street, but
a statue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be fabulous, because these pictures, Melanie, that you're pulling up are just beautiful.
Well, I
love the pictures of the cakewalk and the parties, the dancing.
Can I see those photos?
Oh, I'm just pulling up some of these things.
So from my understanding, there's no actual photos of him that exist. These are recreations.
Oh, what? Cal, you go on. You historian, you.
So that was my understanding.
These are recreations.
Of like later performers.
Okay.
Who were part of the movement.
Okay. So I love that picture of, there's what, like
the whole
six?
Group, yeah.
The whole mm-hmm. group, yeah.
So yeah. Again, his name is William Dorsey Swan, with two N's at the end of Swan. Highly recommend you go check out the book by Channing Joseph about him, titled The House of Swan, Where Slaves Became Queens. It's very good. And yeah, just this amazing story. And I had no idea that's where the term drag queen came from.
Right.
It was from this one guy. And like ballroom was founded by like this one guy.
Right. And
like,
also the House of Swan, you know,
yeah.
You see that picked up in the voguing houses.
You know what? I want to see a gritty TV show about him.
Me too.
Like about this story.
Does it have to be gritty? Can it
No. What I meant by gritty was like detailed, you know. I want to see the struggles that he faced with, but also like the joys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to see it all.
Yeah. No, I think it's a wonderful story. And I think it would make a very good movie or TV show.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have some things coming up. I wanted to be sure to, and this also ties in with drag. So we have a community calendar.
Yes.
coming up this Sunday is Easter for those of you who celebrate. It's also the Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yes.
And the whole egg analogy thing is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So transgender people who aren't yet out yet, they're called eggs. It's, you know, and then your egg cracks when you start to come out, and then, you know, it's a whole emergence thing. And going along with the Easter tradition is fantastic. So
excuse my ignorance.
What?
Once again, but does it happen every Easter?
Eggs. Yeah. Bunnies lay eggs every Easter.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear.
Transgender Day of visibility doesn't happen.
Oh, it's just
on Easter
happens
every year.
To coincide
yeah.
with Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that. And so we also have some drag events and some other things. I'm going to try to say this without saying it bad. Yi Effing Hua, Let the Music Play at Back Door at 10 p.m. tomorrow. It's dusting off.
What did she
dust
say?
Off your cowgirl boots. And go to a fun night of country music at the Back Door.
Sounds like
hosted
fun.
By Ava Morningstar, starring Beelzebub, Universe De La Cruz, Luna Magic, and Brentley Beach. It's $10 cash, 12 card. Bar opens at 7, show at 10, and no cover party at midnight. There's a Protect Our People meeting on this Saturday. That's from 2 to 4. Protect Our People's the group that
Protect we started. Our People.
Yes, Pop.
Okay, I thought you said Protector People. And I was like, what is that? Who are the Protector
that's us
People?
Too. Us.
Us.
And protect that's going to be at
that's you.
The Monroe County Library on Kirkwood, 2 to 4 p.m., and rooms 1, B, and C downstairs. It's the first since the injunction was lifted, and so we're going to be discussing what we're doing and what we can all do together and what people need, what services people need. So that's going to be pretty important.
Great.
Later on in the day is Ecstatic House Party at the Pink Poodle, which is at 917 North Fairview Street at 8 p.m.
Again, what's the Pink Poodle?
It's a house that they do house parties at.
Like the House of Swan?
Mervyn is back at hosting the Ecstatic. Meg Anderson is convinced that house parties can save the world and the revolution will be held at the Pink Poodle.
Fabulous.
Begging for some good dance music in Bloomington, a party that starts at a healthy hour. Come shake and unleash and groove. $5 to $10 donation, gratefully accepted to keep the poodle afloat. And again, that's at 8 p.m. at 917 North Fairview. Kinker, the Kings and Thee at the Back Door at 10 p.m., so 2 hours later. Beelzebub is back and is bringing his kings. And then Line Dancing with Laura on Tuesday at the Back Door as well. So those two things are going on. And we are going to wrap up, folks.
You want me
sorry,
to say
I was getting
thing?
The light. Please say the thing.
Support for Blooming Out is brought to you by Blooming Foods Co-op Market, Bloomington's community-owned...